get signed up and get paid for that. And does anybody else have any announcements running down that type of a lane? All right, I'm going to have Jonathan Robertson, if you would, come up and start us off in a prayer for class.
Let's pray. God, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to come together as a group of believers to learn more about you and to study your word. Please be with Lynn as he leads our class today. Please be with the names that have been mentioned that are in need of prayers. God, you know their individual needs. So be with them and be with those who are administering care. Be with their friends and family as they surround them with additional help and support. Be with us as we go into this week. Lord, continue to be with each and every family that's represented here and the decisions that we have to make in the best interest of our family. We pray for wisdom and guidance. And above all, God, we thank you for Jesus who died for us, and we look forward to a day to be united with you. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Missing a few. Has anybody heard? You know, Sean Everingham hadn't been here in the last couple of Sundays. Larry, Elliot, his wife. Has anybody heard from those people? Or just observation that we've missed a couple of people. I know where Marquez is, so he did leave us a quote up here today on "Hello there," said Obi-Wan Kenobi. So appreciate Mark. That's his input for class. So last week we started talking about some personality characteristics of the Holy Spirit, and just to kind of go back over some of those. The Holy Spirit is intelligent. He's generous. He has emotions. He can be lied to. He can be grieved, and he can be quenched. He can be resisted. He can be blasphemed. He leads us. He witnesses us, and he helps us. So before we go any further, we kind of ran through things real quickly last week. What's your perception of the Holy Spirit? Has he worked in your life? Is he still working in your life? Does anybody comment on that, about what their feeling of the Holy Spirit is? And is he still working today as he did back in the Old Testament, in the New Testament? Anybody willing to share anything? Personal belief about the Holy Spirit. Go ahead, Mike. Yeah, they are. I know for me personally, I mean, even as something as a job change, I think can be led. You know, I was the position that I'm at now, I was offered like 3 years ago. Now I'm comfortable where I am. It came up again. No, I don't think so. I'm good, thank you. It came up again, and Susan said, "This is the third time they've offered you this. I think you need to seriously take a look at it." So it's like, I was just comfortable where I was, and now it was, looking back, I sort of wish I'd moved the first time. But anyway, we'll press on. Of course, you know, next week the worship is at camp at 10 o'clock. Rusty will lead that. Frank will be still be teaching a regular 9 o'clock church. He'll be preaching next Sunday, but I don't think there's any class next Sunday. So we'll I can't remember if it's the next Sunday that I'm 24 or not, but anyway, no, I believe I am here that next Sunday, and then Jonathan's going to teach the 17th, I believe. So we were just talking about, does the Holy Spirit have a relationship with people now? So John 16, 8 through 11 says, "And when he comes, he'll convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of the world has already been judged, which is Satan. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future." So the Holy Spirit, which is one of the Trinity, which is one of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, possesses several attributes. We looked at some personality traits, but he also has these powers: omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence. So omnipresence is, as you know, just to remind you, the property of being present anywhere and everywhere. Psalms 139 says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast." So God is everywhere. He's omniscient. The property of having a complete or maximum knowledge. God does not think of one thing and then another. God sees all things together and not successively. God has immediate awareness of all truth, which gives him knowledge without having to believe. Now, we as humans, our minds just don't work that way, and we can't even really put together how all that works, how God can just see not this step, but he sees the entire process all the way through for each of us. Job 12, "But true wisdom and power are found in God. Counsel and understanding are his." And Romans 11, "For whom among me knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him?" So God knows our thoughts, which is kind of scary sometimes. But he lives with us and in us and knows our thoughts and feelings. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10, "These things God has revealed to us by his Holy Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God." The Holy Spirit is omnipotent, omnipotent, omnipotent. The quality of having unlimited power and potential. And the Latin for that is, for Mr. Hamlet fans, is omnipotence, which means all power. "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me light, life." Job 33:4. "The Spirit is eternal," so it's always has been, always will be. "How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanses our consciousness from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God." So have you had any experiences where one of these things has been demonstrated in your life? The omnipresence or the omniscience or the omnipotence of God? Has anybody had an experience they could share that they feel like that the Holy Spirit led that? I know we talked a little bit about AR and Jonathan's situation, my job situation, where God can see the whole picture and not just little steps in the process. Yes, ma'am. Yes, Glenn. There's a plan for that child that we can't see yet, but he knows the plan for that child. Steph. Yeah, probably 10 years ago, that wasn't really on your radar. You know what? You know, I think I'm going to adopt some children or something. That probably wasn't even on your radar, was it? And yeah. Why wouldn't somebody just show up with an orange carpet or a red carpet or something, but all of it? That's. They had a great designer for their house, I guess, didn't they? JR. Does the Bible say even feeding a stranger, clothing, you know, you just, isn't that so mysterious? And the Holy Spirit's been around long enough to where it's inspired God's Word. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know, I was just talking to somebody last night about all this stuff was going on with, you know, personal pronouns and genders and all these things that are, I mean, how much more confusing can it be for all of us, you know? And if this was inspired and God breathed, it says what? Male and female, he created them. And I know we're supposed to separate government and religion, but it sure doesn't make sense. It would be a lot simpler if we had a lot more laws that were based on this than on what we think our rights are. So the Holy Spirit has been around since the very beginning. He's involved in the creation of the world in Genesis. The Holy Spirit's mentioned in the very first chapter, and in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was formless and void, and the darkness over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. The Holy Spirit, again, was involved in Scripture, all Scripture inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, correction, training in righteousness. But know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. The Holy Spirit, if he had a relationship with us, he certainly had a relationship with Jesus, who is, I'm not sure, is a part of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit exalts and gives glory to Jesus. John says, Jesus said this himself, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he's heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. Without measure, yeah. So an easy little thing that you can help remember is push. Holy Spirit has power, he has unity, he has supervision, and he has holiness. The holiness, or the deity, he was present when Jesus was baptized. After his baptism, Jesus came out of the water. The heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him, and the voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly beloved Son, who brings me great joy." And Peter said, "How could the two of you even think of conspiring to test the Spirit of the Lord? The young men who buried your husband are just outside the door. They will carry you out too." And Acts 8:39 says, when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord, snatching Philip away, the eunuch never saw him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. So just a variety of ways the Holy Spirit's acted there.
Push, sure.
Power, unity, supervision, and holiness. Mary, the mother of Jesus, can you imagine? She's just all of a sudden, an angel appears and tells her that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And she's like, well, how can this be? Because I'm a virgin. So just like we read a few minutes ago about the Spirit descending like a dove, the Spirit has been betrayed by several images in the Bible. A dove, again, when Jesus was baptized. He's betrayed like the wind on the day of Pentecost. All the believers meeting together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of mighty windstorm. And it filled the house where they were sitting, describing the sound of the Holy Spirit approaching like a great windstorm. He also is displayed as has come as in the presence as fire, again on the day of Pentecost. Then what looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Fire was seen in the Old Testament when the Lord appeared. And when did the Holy Spirit or the Lord appear as fire? You remember? The burning bush. What else? The what? Right, yeah. Yeah. He's also been betrayed by water. John 7 says, on the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scripture declares rivers of living water will flow from his heart." When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit, it had not been given because Jesus had not entered into his glory yet. Also his clothing, you know, we can be clothed with the Holy Spirit. "I'm going to send you what my Father's promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with a power from on high." And he protects us just like a uniform. The Spirit shows that we belong to God. He protects us. So what's the Holy Spirit done for us and done for people that were in the Bible, and what can he do for us now? Well, he was involved in creation, and we won't go through all these scriptures, but he was involved in creation. He's helped give life. He's empowered people for specific tasks in life and in our life even. He gives wisdom. He helps relocate people, even from other countries. As even Larry was talking about this morning, bringing in nurses from other states. He brings righteousness. He sustains life. He takes life. He gives life. He takes life. And he's with us and guides us through life. And this is one of the things you get a guarantee with. When you were baptized, you received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so the one who seals, and you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guarantee in our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. We could end right there. You got a guarantee that because you're here, because you believe, because you were baptized, because you follow Jesus, that you have a guarantee of an inheritance and a better plan prepared for all of us. So, Romans 9:8 says, "But you're not controlled by the sinful nature. You're controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living within you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all." 1 Corinthians says, "No one can know a person's thought except that person's own spirit. No one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit." And we receive God's Spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. Now, how are we going to know that? How do we know that? We have to spend time in this book right here. His mother would say, we need to be in the Word. That's what she would tell me that all the time. You need to be in the Word. 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that Spirit of God lives in you?" And the Spirit is the truth. And the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. So, probably, as some of you do, I sit and think a lot about where we are in the world today and what's going on. I'm like, Lord, how long are you going to put up with this mess? You know, and it's just like, one of those disasters that happened recently. I think they had somebody on the news that says, you know, where's your God now? So, you know, where is God? Where is Jesus? Where's the Holy Spirit? What's the plan that's going on? Well, where is the Holy Spirit? We've talked about that. He lives in us. He lives in those who love Jesus and obey His commands. If you love me and obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you an advocate who will never leave you. He's the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. But you know Him because He lives with you now and later will be in you. So do you think that, you know, what's the difference, I'm asking you, what's the difference, your opinion, what's the difference between your conscience and the Holy Spirit? How do you get a conscience? How do you get a conscience about what you should do, what you shouldn't do? How do you get a guilty conscience? Go ahead, Jeff. And that's why it's so important for us to be together as believers. I mean, we need to fellowship together. This room should be full, because just think about how much of the more number we have, the more Holy Spirit we have, the more together we are, the more excited we can to motivate each other, just to press on, to keep going. Life is tough, but we're all there for each other to help push through to the end. Brandon. Groans for us, yeah. Do you ever feel like you spiritually plateau? I'm finally here. I'm spiritually mature now. I got it all together. I've got it. You ever feel like that? Absolutely, yeah. Darlene.
A few weeks ago, Brad talked about a lot of traditions around Eastern music, and I think a lot of Church of Christ traditions around the Holy
Right, yeah.
But I knew right then, I mean, and that was really the first remembrance I have of thinking that the Holy Spirit led me to do something. And it's like Stephanie said, you know, he knew right then what our plan was going to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had no idea that this, you know, cocky, swaggering guy was going to be my husband. I just knew that he had the strength to get me through what I needed to do that day. And that's what I got
in the closet. That's right. Amen. Okay. All right, last comment, and then I'm going to just show a video. It's a letter from God that I want to show you, and then we'll pick back up here where we left off. I've completely forgot what I was going to say.
So one last comment, and then I'm going to show you a video.
And it had something to do with what Darlene said. But, I know what it was. Even you're talking about the relationship to Church of Christ, not and the traditions of things. Like, I had a lady when I was kind of started studying all this months ago that said that they were here in the 60s, and they had brought up in a class about something about the Holy Spirit, and who was teaching that class, I won't even say who it is, but just said, well, we don't talk about that. You know, we don't talk about that. So, well, it's in the Bible. We went over last week how many times the word Holy Spirit's in the Bible, and Holy Ghost, but, well, we don't talk about that, you know. So, but now we've moved past that, thank goodness. So let me show you. I just want to kind of leave you with something positive. And
chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth. Misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you. You are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul. And I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. For I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away. Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your dad. Almighty God.
God loves you. Go have a great week. Good deal. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Yeah.